The reason this second group exists, that doesn't want to do it, but does it because it fears not doing it, is because it goes down the list of consequences. It says, this is the right thing to do, but what are the consequences for me of doing it? And if you do, if you go through that, there will, the list will get long enough for most people to say, well, this is the right thing to do, but I ain't taking that consequence for doing it. And so you become part of group two. I don't like it, but I'll do it anyway. But when you are in your true spirit, when you're in your true heart center spirit, you don't go through this checklist of consequences. You do what you know to be right at every turn. And what the heart says is, if I list consequences for not doing what I know to be right, that means I would be considering not doing what I know to be right. That's never going to happen. So I'm going to do what I know to be right, and the consequences will take care of themselves. But I am not going to be intimidated into not doing what I know to be right, because I know the consequences of that. And that is that those who are intimidating me have control over my life. And if people just broke out of that fear of consequences and just did what they know to be right, they would be amazed at what would happen. Because lots of the consequences they list don't happen. You know, if far, 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 far more people had not had the jab, then in Austria, for instance, they would not have had the same confidence in making it mandatory, because there'd have been too many people that weren't having it. But if enough people have it, 70% or something, then they can focus everything on the 30%, which is what they're exactly what they're doing. And this is another point, and which is very relevant. Why are they focusing such demonization upon those who refuse to have the jab? Because it is not just a symbol, it is a statement about their state of mind. It is a statement about their perception. If you refuse to have the fake vaccine, no matter what the level of pressure, then you, by definition, are in group number three. You are saying, I can see what's happening, and I'm not cooperating with it. So the group that says, I'll just do whatever I'm told, it's the government, and the group, unless people break away, they're starting to, that say, I don't want to do it, but I'm frightened of not doing it, they are not going to bring an end to this. They are going to bring an end to it. And the government knows that the symbol, the statement of not having the jab, that's telling you who those people are. Who can see it, and not only see it, you can see it here and still do it, they're not doing it. And this is why, because this is a cult agenda, and they couldn't care less about humanity, when people say, well, why are they getting rid of all these unjabbed health workers when they say the NHS and the health service in different countries is under pressure? You know why? Because they couldn't give a shit about the effect on the population of doing that. And people say, well, why are they throwing out all these highly trained troops from the American military? Navy SEALs, all these different people, because they won't have the jab. How's that going to affect the American military? The cult couldn't give a shit. Why are they doing it? They want to rid the military, the police, the health service, every institution of government, of those who not only can see, but have shown by their jab decision, they will not cooperate with what they see. They want them out of the entire system. That's why they're doing it. It's nothing to do with protecting patients. Oh, you know, patients, you know, Johnson said this week, oh, you know, we're going to continue with the firing of health workers because patients, they want their nurses jabbed. Nonsense. You want rid of all pushbackers from within the system, and that's why they're doing it.
And corporations are doing it.
Well, corporations are doing it, yeah. But again, I mean, I can't remember exactly the situation, but it was to do with dock workers. It was in North America. And they said, all dock workers got to be vaccinated by this date or you're fired. And they all walked off. The dock stopped. And they said, well, we've changed our mind. And they withdrew it. Because these companies can't function if enough people say we're not doing it. They can't. You got people in a boardroom sitting around a freaking table drinking coffee or whatever. But they're sitting there because the rest of the company hierarchy is holding them up there. If those people walk away and say, you want to do this to us? Well, we're not doing it. Then there'd be a resolution very quickly. And this is one of the sad things, Brian, for me. The way the trade unions worldwide have been co-opted by the cult agenda. It's unbelievable. Where you've got the teachers' unions wanting to stop kids going to school. Not because there's any threat to bloody health. And insisting, you know, wanting to insist they still wear masks with danger in their psychology and their health. The unions should be standing up for the kids, and they're not. The unions should be standing up for workers being sacked for not having a experimental fake vaccine, and so many of these unions are not. Because they've been co-opted by the same system. So in the end, as all these different institutions and organizations and groups have been co-opted, it comes down to the individual. And it comes down to groups of individuals who themselves impact upon society. Not what the union doing. What am I doing? What are we doing? Sod the bloody union. They're bloody useless. What are we going to do? Oh, well, what are the government doing? Sod the government. What are we going to do? And then the government will have to respond. Instead of us responding to government, what the government, do you think they're going to lock us down? Well, how about we ain't going to be locked down, so you can't lock us down. So we are having the government respond to us instead of us meekly responding to government. People saying to me before Christmas, do you think there were... Do you think they'll lock us down? I said, well, they ain't going to bloody lock me down. I'll do what I bloody want. I'll go and see my family as I want, sod 'em. You know, they want to do something about that. Well, they should do something about that. But they ain't going to stop me doing it. I'm a sovereign individual. I'm not going to have some prating government tell me that I can't see my family at Christmas. They're just not going to do it. And if enough people did that, then we'd see where the power was. And it's not there, it's here. And that, I hope, will be one of the great lessons of the last 2 years. Look where the power really is and bloody use it. And then the tyrants will be shown to be what they really are. Manufactured fakery where we're supposed to believe they have power when the only power they have is ours.
I meet these people every single day, David, and they say, Brian, what do I do? Like, what do? I know this isn't right. I don't want to do it. I don't want to get the jab. But they all have that psychological block, and they don't feel like they can connect with a peer group, a tribe, or even an information source that will get them to say no. And so they wash in with the tide, and they always ask me, Brian, what do? Is there hope?
Well, there's no hope if you go on doing that. That's how we got here. This is the interesting thing, Brian, you know. This COVID period has highlighted so many things and has brought so many things to attention, which have gone on for centuries. Look back in history. Virtually every culture, every era, every nation in the entirety of human history has had the same dynamic. The few control the many. Now, why is that? Is it the natural order of things? No, it's not. It's acquiescence of the many to the few. And so it's gone on all the way through history. And therefore, because this whole hidden conspiracy, not in the now for anyone with a brain, has entered the room, now we can see what's been going on the whole bloody time. The few have controlled the many because the many give the power to the few. This is the opportunity to end that dynamic forever, or at least for a long time, until the people in the future forget, and say, look, this is how humans have been controlled all the way through. Let's stop doing what's allowed the control all the way through, and we might get a different outcome. And I mean, I look at the First Minister of Wales, Mark Drakeford, and I ask the question constantly, is there life on Mark Drakeford? Because I've seen no evidence whatsoever. But somehow, God knows how, he has become First Minister of Wales. This man has the brain capacity of a pea. And he announces that these restrictions are going to happen in Wales. And the bars are going to close, and the cinemas are going to close. Now, someone like me looks up and says, but you're a moron. What do you mean? I'm not doing what you say. You're a moron. I do what you say, I become a moron. I'm not having it. So Mark Drakeford has no impact on me in that way. And especially if lots of people say the same, he has no power at all. But people just do it. There's this group. Well, you've got to do it, safe from COVID. There's this group. Oh, shit, I don't want to do it, but I fear not doing it. And then I look in Scotland, and I see wee Jimmy Cranky, look alike, sound alike, Nicola Sturgeon, this pocket dictator throughout the COVID era. She stands up. Oh, no, you've got to wear face nappies. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Bars closed. You've got to do this. And people do it. If people say, look, who are you? Who are you, Ms. Sturgeon, to tell me what to do? Who are you? Never mind tell me you're First Minister. I'm a human being. You're a human being. Who are you to tell me how to live my life in fine detail? You're not. Now, if I'm going to do what you ask, not tell, you've got to persuade me why I need to do it and why it's of benefit to me and or anyone else. And they can't do it. But so they just say you do it and all this sanction. So people do it. So you've got a pea brain in Wales and a pocket dictator who's not the brain of Britain intellectually anyway. And those two people have dictated the lives of the Welsh and the Scots since pretty much the turn of 2020. Ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, get yourself a calculator. How is that possible? Because you acquiesce and obey. And that's how the few control the many. That's how it happens. And the lesson is just, it's in letters 10 feet high with flashing lights. Stop acquiescing and you'll get your freedom back. Keep acquiescing and it will go on being taken away until even the last vestiges of it are no longer visible. It's so simple. But you know, people say to you, they say, what do we do? What's the solution? And it's not the case in every case. No, it's not. But in vast number of cases, what they're saying to you is, how is someone else going to get us out of this? Right. Not how am I going to get myself out of this? How are we going to get ourselves out of it? How is someone else going to do it? So I look at Trump in America and I look at the Trump supporters, and basically the Trump supporters are overwhelmingly the great, great majority of the pushbackers in America. And I've got respect for the fact that they do that. But they're still looking at an individual and they're saying, if Trump gets back in, then everything will change. Well, it didn't change first time, did it? Instead of saying, never mind Trump, he's just one bloke. What are we going to do now? Not if Trump gets back, now, what are we going to do? How do we sort this out? What is the cause of the problem? Acquiescence, right? We stop. And take the power to self rather than handing it away. So, you know, what are you doing when you hand your power to Trump? Oh, Trump will change it. You're giving your power away to someone else. Take it back. Impact upon life yourself. And then you'll realize how much power you really have compared with how much you thought you had. Because the whole psychological trick of this cult in all its forms is to persuade us we have no power. And to persuade us that they have the power. When their power is our power, and that's the trick. You know, we've got a great chance now in this, after these big, big revelations of where the power is, to actually change this world for the better. For the first time, and remove this source of manipulation, control, and deviancy. Now it's put itself on public display. But it's going to take a lot of courage, a lot of backbone. A lot of people are going to have to grow a pair. And we need to get a lot more people out of the second group into the third group. And then we can do something about this. We really can. I wouldn't do what I've done if I thought it was a lost cause. It's not. But if we go on as we are, it's a lost cause. But the signs are that people are changing and changing and changing. I mean, you know, people are saying, I understand it. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I understand it when people say, why aren't more people waking up? Why aren't more people waking up? Well, they should have been with me in 1990 and 91 and 92 and 93 and 94 and so on. What's happening now is a dream. The number of people who are reevaluating life, they're reevaluating self, they're reevaluating the nature of who they are, they're reevaluating the nature of their own power, they're reevaluating how the world's run, who by and to what end. It's amazing what's happening in terms of the numbers. And people in England just need to, who've been pushing back, need to realize that we've made great progress here, hence what's happening at the moment. But this ain't over. It ain't nearly over. And we've got to keep going.
And so with all the stress and all the darkness and all the challenges, you probably see the best chance that you've seen in 30 years for us to make progress.
Well, I think the first time in a very, very long time. As far back as you could see, because the point being that this cult, I've documented it in the books, has been operating from the shadows since way, 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 way back. And what it's been doing is gathering more and more power, you know? And so one of its great points when it went global was the period of colonization. The cult by that time was very much founded in Europe, in Britain, big time, still is, and London, in Rome, etc. And that great colonization of the world sent the cult global. And when apparently those colonies were given independence, that's not what happened. What was left out in those countries was the secret society network of the cult, which has an interlocking global mission control, and various family groups. And they've gone on controlling those countries ever since, but covertly rather than overtly, as with colonization. At least then you knew where your masters were. They were the colonizers. But when the colonization ended, it went overt. And then you had the British Empire, massive, and all the European empires. And then after the decolonization, but not really, you had the globalization, and the cult just reached the point that it is now with a global reach, and a global impact, a global centralization. That's how it's orchestrated the COVID period.
And yet you're more optimistic now than ever before, perhaps.
Because through the period I've just described, it was all apparently random events. It was not on public display.
The information was controlled.
Yeah. Well, it was not on public display. There were different countries. No, well, actually, there's not. And what's happened in the last 2 years, not for everybody, but for great numbers of people, is they've started to get it. It's all coordinated. It's actually not random, and that's the penny drop, because the system is ever so simple. You have a global web of secret societies, semi-secret groups that spans the world. This is what it's got to when it went global. This is what it completed, this process. And you've got a central point that dictates, I call it the spider, that dictates the agenda through the web. And in each country, they have a subsidiary web of the global web. And the job in that country of that subsidiary web, like a subsidiary of a corporation, is to control that country's politics, business, banking, media, health system, etc. And control it in a way that imposes in that country, that sphere of influence, the centrally dictated global agenda. This is how they played COVID out and got virtually every country in the world to act the same. This is how it was done. And so you have the spider, and immediately around the spider, you've got the strands in the web, and they are the most exclusive secret societies. They're the ones where the people in them absolutely know what's going on. Then you come out from the spider, still in the hidden, and you're seeing all the secret societies we do know about, the Freemasons, I mean the inner core, the Knights of Malta, Knights Templar, inner core of the Jesuit order, and so on. And then you reach what I call the cusp organizations, and this cusp is where the hidden part of the web hits the scene. And in this cusp group, you've got the Bilderberg Group, the Council of Foreign Nations in America, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome that was created by the cult in 1968 to exploit the environment as a means of justifying central control, the centralized control, the human-caused climate change hoax came out of that originally. And you have the United Nations is part of this, and so on. And also in this cusp group are this phenomenal number of non-governmental organizations funded by people like Soros and think tanks. And the role of the cusp organizations, although the vast majority of people in them won't know this, is to take the agenda for the world coming out from the spider through the hidden and to play it out into the world of the seen through governments, government agencies, the banking system, the corporations, the media, and so on. And so although in the world of the seen, all these organizations seem unconnected and random, if you go deep enough into them, they attach to the web. And at that web level, they are all the same organization. Now, this explains a lot in the COVID period. The World Health Organization, owned by or run by, not least through funding, Gates, i.e. the Rockefellers, came out with the COVID narrative and said that the Chinese way of dealing with it, i.e. draconian lockdown, was the way to do it. If you remember, very early on, the platforms of Silicon Valley, who love me, of course, and
us too,
and they said Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, run by Susan Wojcicki, who has to go before Nuremberg, so does Zuckerberg, and because they're denying informed consent blatantly on purpose. They said, what we're going to do is censor those that challenge the World Health Organization narrative, and any national medical system narrative, which is actually just the World Health Organization narrative. Now, if you didn't know about the web, you'd say, well, that's ridiculous. These are media platforms that are supposed to have been created to share opinion and to share information. Why would they do that? But then you realize, if you understand the web, that this web cult not only owns the World Health Organization, it created it through the Rockefellers, but it also created and owns, if the truth be told, the Silicon Valley social media and search engine and video platforms like YouTube. So suddenly it makes absolute sense. This arm of the cult is defending the narrative of this arm of the cult from exposure for the lies that it is. Then you have the big pharma cartel. You've got your Pfizer, your Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, all these people. They go to the so-called government regulators like the CDC in America, the FDA and the MHRA in Britain, and they ask for permission, first of all, to use their fake jab, and then to use it on lower and lower age groups. And you know the odd delay might happen, but you know they're going to get it. You know they're going to get it. Why? Because Big Pharma is not only owned by the cult, it was created by it via the Rockefeller family originally, but your CDC and your FDA and your MHRA in Britain, they're also owned by the cult. And thus, what you're seeing is the cult in the form of Big Pharma asking permission from the cult in the form of these so-called regulatory agencies to advance the agenda of the cult. And this is why you know they're going to get permission for these things. And once you realize how all these things are, all these organizations are connected, then the penny drops. And one of the things they've been doing, and because they've been preparing this for a long time, is they've been putting all these key people in positions of power just for this moment. For instance, as we speak, there's a guy, Prime Minister of Italy, called Mario Draghi, who, I mean, if it's true that when they're talking about your ears burning, well, his ears must have been burning when a lot of my books came out. because he's a real cult operative in the European Central Bank, which he ran, in the Bank of Italy, Goldman Sachs, and all that stuff. And just at this time that they're doing this fascist targeting of the non-vaxxed in Italy, he's prime minister, unelected, by the way. So these people are not there by accident, just like Biden's not there by accident.
Yeah, I loved how you said that that is such a public display of our own lack of self-respect that it then degrades at our self-respect. And Biden is that example for me. It's so obvious this person is incapable, and yet we're acquiescing, which then destroys our power in the long run.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious that it should be obvious, but I guess it isn't obvious.
Well, that's a classic example, Brian, of what I mentioned earlier about the moron psychology. You've got a guy who's, I mean, how he sees through those eyes, I don't know. I mean, and he's peering and he's reading his autocue, reeling off these things about vaccine bloody mandates. And people look at him and they go, he don't know what he's doing, does he? And then what do? They follow the mandate. Why?
And lose a little respect along the way.
You've got to. See, this is what's actually going on. China is the blueprint for the world. America has now passed the point where it was in its state before, a contributor to where the cult wants to go. The idea is to destroy America. That's what's happening. So, and I preempted this in my books so long ago that they were going to open up the southern border of the United States and anyone could come in. Anyone. No checks, nothing. Anyone in. So all the drug cartels come over and they'll think. They are destroying America. The Chinese, Wuhan, is the center of fentanyl production, this opioid drug that's devastated so many people in America, American communities. And they're putting it into America via the southern border and America and Mexican drug cartels. And because, as I mentioned, how this cult works, the cult controls the American government. It controls the Chinese government. The rise of China and the system of China is the cult agenda for the world. Right. So decisions are made by the American government to allow that to happen. When you'd think the opposite would be the case, they allow that to happen. The Chinese government's buying up farmland galore across America. The other biggest, farmland owner in America is Bill Gates, because they want to control the food chain, which is what? Control of by dependency. So, you know, this is a massive, massive web and a massive agenda. And people think, you know, they're bloody right. It's difficult to keep up with. There's so many things going on. And the more you see what's going on, the more you see they're all connected to the same end. But it all comes down to the same thing. It's only possible because billions acquiesce to thousands, ultimately, and ultimately a single room of people. And so beyond the complexity of the play out is this simple dynamic. And when we suss this as a human race, the whole house of cards comes down. Why? Because we are holding a bloody thing up there.
Yeah. And that's the one message I want everyone to take away with today, is that it's their own acquiescence that's making all of this happen. David, how do you stay so optimistic when you're literally swimming through this darkness on a regular basis? I don't think I've seen you on such good form in the last 2 or 3 years, David. Like, you're really sharp. You're high energy. You're high vibration. How do you do it?
Well, because I don't.